Hello, welcome to Spotlight, lighting the pre-TT skies.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we hear about some new workshops for drummers. Enjoy a smile or two at an art exhibition dedicated to teeth. And hear about ex-poetry, that's new open mic poetry nights in cool venues around the island for new poets, old poets, and poets who've never performed before. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put into the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, bell ringing last week, of course. Email spotlight@manxradio.com, or if you prefer, Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. We'd love to hear from you, particularly if you're in something like dance or jewellery or ceramics or some of these other art forms that don't get featured as often as we would like. Drop me a line. The great Joe Morello on Take 5. Even gets played on Manx Radio, that even though it's jazz. Displaying his skills on the drum set and in 5/4 time, just to make it a bit more difficult. Well, if you love drumming of any sort or have any drum aspirations in any style, listen up. There's a series of drum workshops coming your way this very weekend. Not with Joe Morello, sadly, he's no longer with us, but a drummer from one of the best-known award-winning bands in the UK, along with question and answer sessions with those in the music industry. It's all the brainchild of Ali DeBakker, a name not unfamiliar on this programme, and a keen drummer herself. She dropped into the studio to tell me more.
So the workshops will be held at Kensington Arts. We've got some people lined up for those, and they're being funded very kindly by the Arts Council, who are supporting this whole project. Be six drummers of mixed abilities who are being taught by Lipper educator and former founder and drummer of the band Elbow, which is my friend Rick, and also my friend
the
Ali.
Elbow.
The Elbow.
We're talking top ranking stuff here.
Yeah, he's very experienced. And then our friend Ali as well, who used to be one of Rick's students, and he is also a professional working musician. He's more a session musician, although he's just been doing the last 2 years session work, but also festival work, and he's worked for people like Jules Holland, and he's like an in-house musician as well. He does work for the new Co-op Arena as well in Manchester, so he's also very experienced as well, and they'll be giving some workshops and also advice about what it's like to work within the music industry at the moment.
So what was the inspiration behind this? What drove you to want to do this?
So I used to work for the Arts Council and I did something similar with them about 2 years ago, and it was a great success. The people that came to the Q&A were mostly drummers, and I'm a drummer as well, and local musicians, and we've just got so many talented people on the island who are, shall we say, wanting to expand their horizons from the island into the UK and further afield. We've got bands that are visiting the UK more and more now and getting more and more gigs, but they're just wanting that little bit of advice as to how to get more gigs, get more connections, talk to people within the industry, what they need to do to grow as a band or an artist and their practice. And this should give them some advice how to do that, really, and they can chat and ask any questions and, yeah, just have a general chat about what it's like at the moment to work within the ever-changing scenery that is the music industry.
And is it aimed specifically at drummers, would you say, or musicians?
So the workshops is just drumming, but it is for drummers who are either, you know, hobbyists like myself or people who are currently in a band as well, who are wanting to pursue a bit further. I mean, everybody would, from being a bedroom drummer like me, would love to be a professional musician. But the Q&A is more around music industry and history, really, and experience of Rick's experience of working within the music industry for the past 25 years. He's very experienced. He's an award-winning musician and drummer. Elbow have won an Ivor Novello. They won a Mercury Music Prize Award and a Brit Award. And he's currently a teacher at an educational music college. So he is teaching the next generation of people going into that industry. And he's also a session drummer as well, and regularly attends music industry forums and speaks on behalf of, you know, musicians within the industry.
Is this all styles? When you say drumming and music, is this all styles or sort of on the rock pop side of things, or all different styles?
So that's the amazing thing with drumming. It's mostly exercises, so working on your own technique. So if you're if you're just a general percussionist, or if you're a rock drummer, or if you're a jazz drummer, or if you're a metal drummer, or if you're in any kind of genre really, Rick and Ollie, and me to a certain degree, you know, helping out, it's improving your technique and you improving what you want to be as a drummer. You want to improve your practice, or you just want to learn some different techniques and talk to other drummers about their creative practice and how they go about. And that's more what this is about, really, connecting with other drummers as well and other people within the musical industry.
And the Q&A session, so that's down at Noah?
Yes, Noah Bakehouse, opposite the Sea Terminal. Get the right Noah, because we've all done that before, gone to the wrong Noah.
Down by the Sea Terminal.
Yeah, so opposite...
Don't go on the quayside.
Pebble Buildings, opposite the Sea Terminal, Saturday the 17th of May. Doors open at 7:30 for 8. But if you would like to submit some questions as well, because it's an audience Q&A as well, as well as me waffling on to Ollie and Rick, and anybody who wants to come along, that wants to ask some questions either about drumming or anything to do with the current situation that within the music industry and what's happening, if they want to email rbjdrums@icloud.com, or they want to drop me a message or anything like that, they're more than welcome to. And it'd be great if we got a load of questions, because last time we had so many questions we ran out of time, and it's one of those things where once you get going and talking about anything to do with, you know, being in the music industry and what you want to see, it can get carried away a bit, which is great.
What's the joy of drumming for you?
Oh, that's such a difficult question. Just the escape that you get from it. For me, because I'm neurodivergent, so it's very difficult for me to concentrate. So once I get to that state where I'm concentrating, I don't realise that I'm concentrating, and it stops me from overthinking, and I play a lot better, and it's a form of escape for me. And find it very regulating for me, and it's just escape.
Good a reason as any, isn't it?
And it's loud as well.
Are you hoping, obviously, that these sessions coming up now, is this something you're wanting to sort of do on a more regular basis, or just sort of a one-off, or sporadically? Or
I hope so. I would love to do more of these. I'd love to do more of these with more musicians, and if, you know, musicians and groups on the island who want to get involved and do more things like this, bring more people to the island who have, you know, given their experience. And we have a lot of people on the island as well who are currently working within the music industry, who are very experienced, and we had Callum from the Arts Council had a great talk with Lenny from Triskel Promotions last week, which was really, really great. Talking to him about music promotion last week. So it's that kind of thing, really, where, you know, people in the creative community connecting and talking to each other and sharing ideas and asking questions, and just coming together, really.
Just give us those dates and times again for the workshops and the Q&A.
So the workshops are Saturday the 17th of May and Sunday the 18th of May. And the Q&A music industry evening is on Saturday the 17th of May at Noah opposite the Sea Terminal. Doors open at 7 o'clock for an 8 o'clock start.
All I can say is beat a path. See what I did there? To either the workshops or the Q&A or both. It's free. Who knows what you might learn? That address again, if you've got any questions for Rick you'd like to send in, rbjdrums@icloud.com.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
From drummers in elbow to art in teeth. For that single word, teeth, with all the images it might conjure up, is the title of this year's open art competition held at the wonderful Loom Gallery in Laxey. They're always fun, these exhibitions and competitions, quirky and imaginative, and visitors invited to choose their favourite work. I dropped down last week to have a quick tour of the teeth with curator Julia Ashby-Smythe.
We were having a brief wander around, and
just enjoying what is an amazing variety of interpretations of this single word, teeth.
You've got textile, dog's violets, dog tooth violets, get that right. Oh, there's just so many different interpretations. Theme, cogs, teeth themselves, actually real, actual teeth made into jewellery. Just delightful. The has tooth, to have tooth like a cloth, is to have a surface. And so there's paintings that have a surface, they have tooth.
Yes, there's one just down here. We wandered down a little bit to the left-hand side of the gallery here. And I think this is one such you were talking about, which is called Nevermore with Tooth. Now, he's a raven, I would think, done on a dark background. And again, it's done in blues and darks, and you just got the raven's eye there sort of looking out. And as you say, it's the artist who is Emma Butler has used, as you say, the like sort of the tooth of the fabric.
She's created a surface, a raised surface with the paint to give it tooth. And the feathers look like fangs, the way she's done them. They look like teeth. So it's a multifaceted tooth-themed piece.
Which is glorious. Next door, we have some fish. Now, you might not instantly associate fish with teeth, but of course, if you think piranhas, or in this case, by Kaz McCammon, an alluring smile, play on words there as well. And it is a fantastic display of an anglerfish done in mixed media, in 2D mixed, aged slag metal. I love the sound of that.
It's just right on my street, yes.
And a stunning picture. I mean, it's a really bright one, that. A lovely one underneath, or rather like Tracy Skelton swimming against the tide, acrylic and oil with, I think these are piranhas, actually.
Yeah, they look they like are. It. Yeah. Yeah, and you've got this little chappy here with his little lower jaw of teeth.
Yes, he's going the opposite way, and he's got his teeth out. He's got his teeth on display, which is rather good. Next door, a fantastic one, which you just look at it from across the gallery and you see a seahorse and you think, well, what's that got to do with teeth? And then, of course, you get closer. It's a steampunk seahorse and ingeniously made a huge amount of work in this one and made of, well, they sort of look like cogs in a way on the inside, don't they?
They do. It's almost as if they're like what you'd find in a watch. Lots and lots of cogs, obviously, with lots and lots of teeth. And then I think she must have... It's Tammy McLean, and she's made the outline of the seahorse in metal. They're like metal teeth. The amount of work is astonishing, but it catches the light delightfully as well. And just, again, a completely different take on the theme.
I'm just moving up here, a beautiful one of perhaps a more straight interpretation, if you can call it that, Oliver Wassail, Snow Leopard and Cubs. Beautiful one, doing in oil on canvas. And of course, yes, leopards, I suppose you instantly associate teeth, and that beautiful one, that particularly if you stand back a bit, we're a bit close here to appreciate it. But you stand from the other side of the gallery, it looks glorious. And here's one, this would be right up your street, Julia, this one, I think. Yes, the devil is in the DK.
Just brilliant. Brilliant. And every time I walk past it, it chants a little song to me, which does make my day. I can hear it going, whoosha, 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 whoosha. But that's just my brain.
It is quite dark, and it's a sort of, it's done in a gold frame and a dark black background, and it's, in essence, looking inside a molar tooth where there appear to be these characters doing some sort of satanic ritual by the looks of it. It could be sort of looking into the jaws of Hades or such like, but within the innards of a molar, as presumably the tooth decays. I quite like it. Bit scary in a dark night, though.
I don't know. I could quite happily live with that. I think also if you've had toothache, that would be what is going on in your head.
Hell in your tooth.
Yeah, just it's happening to me, and I can't get away from it. Yeah, so I can see that quite happily.
Yep, that's glorious. We've got some smiles round here, a bit further up, and around the top end of the gallery, some beautiful multicoloured works as well. A dandelion clock here. This is an interesting one. This is a Jim Rawson protean teeth collage, another mixed media piece. Collage, found papers, pencil, photocopied, charcoal, tempura and coffee.
Yep, I reckon it's all in there. Yep. Again, a fascinating take and a different style of art collage and found pieces, found papers. It just shows the diversity of media that come into this exhibition, this competition, so textiles and pen and ink, felted work, glass. It is such a range of delights to see.
It is an amazing stuff. Around the top end of the gallery, there's more cogs, there's some dogs, there's some skulls. A beautiful sort of Aboriginal piece here, Ali Foster, Mind Cogs. And this, yeah, definitely, to my mind, as soon as you look at it, it just shouts Australian or Aboriginal to me.
Yeah, that pointillism, is it? It's beautifully colourful. And you can see the machinations of a mind working through there. I'm rather partial to the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth by Cathy Craig. That, again, floats my boat.
That's terrific. And that's, if you've got a small wall, this could be right up your street, because it's only about, I don't know, what, four inches square or thereabouts. And it is exactly that. I take it's a real tooth.
It's a resin tooth.
Oh.
So no teeth were hurt in this process.
Well.
But it looks so real.
It does. It does. And it just has the words, yes, pasted around it. The tooth, the whole tooth, nothing but the tooth. Brilliant. A fantastically psychedelic one alongside there. More cogs to the left. Here we are. This is a landscape taking on Manx farmland, etched by the plough's teeth. We were talking about this, I think, before we came, or when you first had the idea for the exhibition, and we were pondering what sort of themes might be explored. And this indeed was one that came up, this idea of a landscape where a plough has literally the teeth of the plough is carved away at the soil.
It is that it has that wonderful feel to it of dragged ground. And of course, landscapes, because when people were saying, oh, teeth, what am I going to do for teeth? Can't do a landscape. And there you go. There's a landscape created by the teeth of the plough.
Just in your imagination.
Yes, perfect. And the colours in this are gorgeous.
Yeah, really lovely oranges and reds and sort of russets. Down the other side, again, we can't take it all in. There's so much. There's some more 3D work there, some photography, some elephants, some dandelions with their sort of toothy leaves. Of course, if you imagine a dandelion, you get the Dents et Lions, as it says on the side there by Mary Moffat. And I'm just heading back down to where the first thing I spotted coming into the gallery, which catches your eye, and wonderfully this afternoon as we see the sunshine, which are a couple of wonderful wooden pieces by Mark Smythe. And this one, Abyssal Anglerfish. And this is a 3D piece, rhododendron. So it is a wood, and it looks, for all the world, it looks like a toothed plate.
It does. It reminds me of a dinosaur when I first saw it, and it is shark, proper shark's teeth and a bit of good Manx rhododendron wood. It casts such a good shadow. It's like, it's a bit Tyrannosaurus Rex in its nature. But yeah, it's another fine example of taking that theme and doing something really wonderful with it.
It is very clever, and it's a piece, you could almost use it as a plate, and literally the teeth are set into a natural sort of split in the wood. And then just finally next door, another one which is really eye-catching, which is almost sort of natural. I'm not quite too sure how Mark's done this, but it's just called Open Wide. And you're saying this is from a monkey puzzle?
If you've seen a monkey puzzle tree, they're very horizontal almost. And when they come out of the tree, they create this, in cross-section, fang-like, darker coloration of wood. And so Mark's used that to create this like open jaw of, or open mouth of, from the monkey puzzle tree. It's, again, knowing the wood and what it does creates just a wonderful piece.
It is. There's lots of wonderful pieces here. We've just given it the smallest of glimpses, some jewellery up there as well. There's some ceramics, there's pretty much anything, and an amazing lion I've just noticed above the wooden pieces we're looking at, which, again, if you just sort of come in, you think it's a painting until you get a bit closer and you realise it's actually coming out of the frame, and it's made out of, I don't know, it's felt and fur, and here we go. Oh, it's needle felt. Wow, brilliant. So it actually comes out, the head actually comes out of the frame of the picture. Huge amount of work, beautifully done by Helen Winter. You need to come down and see it for yourself. So it is open, and as we've been talking today, there are people coming around enjoying some of the exhibits. And then, of course, if you can come down, you can vote yourself on which are your favourite pieces.
Yeah, we have a public vote which is a whole category in itself, which is purely the public's favourites. And so there's a big shiny red box in the gallery, and you come down and put the number of your piece into the red box, and then they all get counted, and we'll be doing the prize presentation on the 17th of May this year, even though the exhibition carries on until the 10th of June, so people coming over the TT can come and have a look. It's been a long day.
It's on a roll now.
If you come down before the 17th and get your public vote in, every vote counts, and it normally is really close, right up into the wire. So come down and get your vote in.
Terrific. So just remind us the dates then. You've got until...
The 17th of May is the prize presentation, and then the exhibition carries on until the 10th of June.
It is terrific fun. Some incredible pictures showing amazing skill, not to say a lot of imagination. Why not go along and vote for your favourite? A reminder of the dates, you've got until midday on the 17th of May to vote. And after that, you've got until the 10th of June. You can't vote then anymore, but you can go along and enjoy the exhibition. Great fun. If you want the piranha picture, though, you're too late. I bought it. Finally, we always love poetry on this show, and a new name for Spotlight, at least on the poetry scene, Saoirse Coyle Carroll, who's aiming to bring open mic poetry nights to all sorts of cool venues around the Isle of Man in friendly, receptive atmospheres for all involved, particularly those who might never have stood up before and recited in front of a crowd. She's calling it X-Poetry. I asked her about the name and the idea.
X-Poetry, yep. The idea kind of behind it is that it's always going to be with something, so... The one that we did previously was Pizza X Poetry, because it was at the Fabulous Black Dog Oven. And the next one coming up, we've got Sunset X Poetry, which is going to be at Foraging Vintners. So it's not necessarily a theme, but it's just to give it a bit of a feel of what to expect type thing.
And these are totally open mics and not just for sort of established, in inverted commas, poets.
Yeah, no, it's for absolutely everyone. I am a firm believer in that everyone has something that they either want to say or need to say. And I guess I just want to create a space where people can do that in a like welcoming and safe and fun environment. It doesn't have to be sort of in prose or anything like that. It kind of can just be word vomit on a page, which happens to be kind of how I write anyway. So yeah, just a space for everyone really.
And how did the first one at the Black Dog go?
Yeah, it went so well. I was absolutely petrified, I'm not going to lie, because obviously there's so much in being done on the Isle of Man in the poetry world, like with the Bard and the Manx Lit Fest and Isle of Man Poetry Society, that it was a bit nerve-wracking, but everyone was so supportive. And then, yeah, we had about like 35, 40 people come.
Brilliant.
And about 15 people get up and speak. Some people who had never spoken at an open mic before, my partner being one of them, it was the first poem he ever wrote that he got up and he spoke. Other people like the current youth Manx Bardelli, she got up and did something and it was her first ever open mic. And then just across the board. And then I had people coming up afterwards and saying, next time I'm definitely going to get up and do something. So it was a really lovely, welcoming environment. And Black Dog was so fantastic that it was just like the perfect location for it. We were in the little inside bit, so it was really nice, yeah.
And it is amazing, I think, isn't it? And we often say this when we're chatting about poetry and with poets and talking about events and such, like how you get, I always say there's a lot of closet poets on the Isle of Man, you know, for every poem or poet you know, who, you know, speaks out in here, there's another 10, I think, who have been writing poetry for years.
Yeah.
But don't necessarily ever go out and perform it.
Yeah, I think I know a few people like that, and I get that sometimes people's poetry is for them and that is completely valid within itself. But I think that started writing poetry and it was completely for myself. But because I come from a sort of performance background, it was actually Stacey Astill who told my mum about it, that Saoirse should go along to this and try it out. And I'm so glad she did, because I was petrified for my first open mic, which was the slam poem for the Lit Fest a couple of years ago, and it was Jackie who was sort of comparing it, and she made me feel so welcome and so nice, and it was just one of the best experiences. And I was like, God, why haven't I done this sooner? And I guess the idea behind it is hopefully there will be at least a couple of people who come and they feel like that. They're like, oh, this is great. And it's, you know, it's a community where people want to hear what you have to say, and people want to hear whether it's cathartic or it's sad or it's funny or it's whatever it is, if it's historical. Or I think that the people who do come and listen, they come because they really want to hear what people have to say, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think you're right in that there's a whole host of different reasons why people do write poetry, whether mm-hmm. they're intending to perform it or not. And as you say, sometimes it can be, and I think maybe this is the stumbling block for performing for some people, that their poetry can be intensely personal.
Yeah, so personal. And I think even if it's not something about that's, even if it doesn't seem like it's really, really personal, I think just writing in general, something that comes from your brain, is always going to have that personal touch from it. So it's always going to feel a little bit like, not sad is not the right word, but it's going to feel a little bit like letting go of your child and be like, okay, it's now out of the world and I can't, it's out in the world and I can't take it back. But I think there's something really special about it as well. I know that I found it really cathartic, but I have to understand that, like, I did come from a performance background, but I think I get way more nervous going up and being myself and saying what I've wrote down on a page rather than getting on stage and being a character. It's always, so different.
You've got nothing to hide behind, you see.
No, absolutely nothing. And everyone's always been really supportive. So I think I think a lot of people think that people don't want to hear it or that people aren't going to think it's interesting. And I don't think it has to be. I think it can just be, like, if it's real and if it's you, I think that there's something really powerful behind that.
It's a great idea that Sesh has got there. Anything that encourages people to get up and perform has to be good. And if combined with something else like a nice pizza or a drink, all the better. You don't, by the way, have to perform a unique work of your own at these events. Sesh says she's more than happy for people to perform the work of other poets, well-known or otherwise. More from her next week when we hear about some of her own inspirations and how she got started in poetry. That's about it for this week. I'll be back next week when we'll be hearing about a new book on the wild places of man, among other joys. See you then, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo.